another edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm your host, Paul Roberts, editor-in-chief of the Security Ledger. The news this week out of Capitol Hill was all about the attempted repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act. But if cybersecurity is your thing, the real political news comes next week. That's when President Donald Trump is expected to release his administration's cybersecurity executive order, the official guidance from the president to other executive branch agencies on cybersecurity practice. With incidents like the hack of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the government's Office of Personnel Management still fresh in everyone's memory, the stakes are high. For an administration that hasn't been shy about breaking with precedent, what will the impacts of the cyber executive order be? This week, for the Security Ledger podcast, we sat down with two experts to get their thoughts. Travis Farrell is the director of security strategy at the firm Anomaly. He's a former security intelligence supervisor at the firm ExxonMobil and a former election official for the state of Texas. And Mike Schultz, who is the CEO of the firm Cybernance, a cyber risk governance platform. I started off by asking Mike about his thoughts on the president's executive order and what changes it might entail.
Well, first, I'm a victim. So I'm really excited to see the government taking action to begin to protect the government infrastructure. I was one of the folks that got caught up in the Office of Personnel Management breach, and the government kindly gave me 10 years of credit monitoring. But gosh, what a mess. What a mess. And should never have happened.
Well, I'm a victim of tax ID theft fraud. So I guess I'm a victim of government, you know, security lapses as well. So we're brothers in that way.
Well, it is not a family that I want to be part of.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
it's just, gosh, what a mess.
A dysfunctional family.
But, you know, the government, like most of commercial enterprise, is focused their attention on perimeter defenses. But one of the things that has been missing is the controls around people, policies, and processes, the internal defenses, if you will. What we're excited about seeing is that the Trump executive order is going to require the federal government to deploy the NIST standard, the National Institute of Standards and Technology's cybersecurity framework, across the entire government, assess maturity, determine gaps, and report on improvement plans back up into OMB, and I think that's a really great thing.
Given that NIST is actually a government publication, why has it taken so long for it to be broadly used and applied across the government sector?
Fascinating question. But the NIST cybersecurity framework was developed at the behest of the government through an executive order from President Obama a couple of years ago. And NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is a government organization. And they reached out, NIST did, and did a really terrific job of engaging all parties, commercial enterprises, government enterprises, universities, research, et cetera, in creating this cybersecurity standard, the cybersecurity framework. And to be fair, in collaborative environments like that, sometimes you get applesauce and sometimes you get something else. Well, in this case, on the NIST standard, they really came together with a very comprehensive, very thoughtful cybersecurity framework that makes a great deal of sense. And why it's not been pushed into the government, I don't know. NIST's position has been that they wanted it to be something that enterprises accepted rather than were forced to do. And so the application is just not moved as rapidly as you'd hope it would. Now, there's also a House bill, H.R. 1224, that has cleared the Science and Technology Committee of the House. Now, whether it actually moves across the floor and gets Senate sponsorship, you know, I couldn't guess at that at this stage. But House Bill 1224 actually codifies the executive order and says all federal agencies must use NIST and report into OMB. So we'll see.
One of the other big initiatives for the Trump administration's cybersecurity plans is this notion of accountability, you know, that the heads of various departments become accountable and responsible for cybersecurity within their department. And that notion of accountability at the top. Do you think that is going to have the desired outcome of improving cybersecurity down through the many reaches of the federal government's, you know, IT infrastructure, or is that mostly window dressing?
Well, it's interesting. From a political sense, one of President Trump's positions has been that nobody ever gets fired. And so looking to the head of the agency for accountability, I think, begins to put that in play. If you looked at the commercial side for a corollary, boards of directors of commercial enterprises are in fact responsible for and liable for failures of proper oversight of risk. Cyber risk really isn't any different than other forms of risk within the company. There's risk around disaster, fire, flood, famine, et cetera, but there's also substantial risk around financial reporting, and the financial reporting Sarbanes-Oxley actually has go to jail teeth in it that says that C officers and directors can be held not just personally liable, but in fact enter the judicial system, if you will. We're seeing some things again on the commercial side. There are 43 plus and growing every day shareholder suits in the Yahoo breach against the board of directors for failure to properly manage and mitigate the risk of cyber. I don't know. I don't see any reason why that shouldn't also be true inside the government.
Travis?
Yeah, that's basically exactly the right question to ask. And, you know, it's one of those things you just kind of have to wait and see how it plays out. Cause, what are they being incentivized to do? Or what are they being disincentivized to do? And what you want them to do may not be the outcome. You know, they may basically just figure out ways to sort of not get in trouble, you know, which is probably okay, but it's maybe not really the intention behind including that. You know, they're really wanting to these folks to sort of own security in their areas and be accountable to that. And I think we're just going to have to wait and see like kind of how that plays out.
I know that one of the big campaign pledges from candidate Trump was around cyber offense and just doing more offensively, kind of flexing the U.S.'s muscle as the probably preeminent cyber power in the world. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on what form that takes. I mean, we know from news reports that maybe we've been doing some stuff in North Korea to sort of try and affect their nuclear program, you know, quote unquote, left of launch, I guess is the term. Obviously, there was Stuxnet, if you go back, you know, 5 years or so. But also, we have been the victims of cyber offensive actions, most recently in the presidential election. Is this a slippery slope? And what is your thought about the relative benefit of emphasizing cyber offense versus just trying to do a better job locking down, you know, our government and commercial networks?
Yeah, this is sort of like an arms race. And, you know, it's good to have the capability and make sure that your adversaries know that you have that capability, and be willing to use it, you know, when the time is right. But to just go around and using it all the time for various things, I think that creates a very hostile environment for businesses and for government entities here in the United States. So it's kind of it's like you said, it's a slippery slope. It's a fine line to walk. It's making sure that you have the capability and making sure that it's known that you have the capability, maybe using it in certain circumstances like North Korea, where people can't really fault us for, you know, maybe trying to take that tack versus, you know, taking a conventional or military approach to that problem.
Right.
You know, that kind of makes sense, especially when we have to let it kind of leak out that we did do something there so that adversaries know that we have that capability. But I think you really want to kind of be cautious about where you use that and how you use it.
You know, what I found really interesting about the Trump administration cybersecurity plans was that, you know, this administration kind of came in some ways to undo the work of the Obama administration in many different areas. When you look at the cybersecurity plans that they've come out with so far, as well as the people they're appointing and working with, I'd say the message is much more one of continuity with the previous administration. They seem to be kind of picking up the baton and running with it. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that seems to be correct. A lot of the folks that were involved in the Obama administration around DHS as it related to cyber are in fact still there. A lot of the programs that began under the Obama administration are going forward. And frankly, the executive order, as it speaks to specifically NIST, is a very strong consideration for what occurred under the Obama administration. So I think it's a continuation, but I think it might be on steroids.
Travis?
You know, as a security professional, you know, new administration comes in, you know, I'm always curious to see how they're going to handle cybersecurity and is it going to be something that's serious? It seems like with the Trump administration, it is something they're taking serious. They've taken several months now to craft this executive order. The draft that sort of made circles a couple months ago, you know, I parsed through that and there was a couple of interesting things in there. It seems like they're from Trump's administration, there seems to be some focus on trying to increase the collaboration between government and private entities, which I think is good. I'm curious as to what they mean by that. You know, what are they going to put in place to try to make that happen? And the other thing that's been interesting is the budget for DHS that they've included this increase in cybersecurity spending. It's just a line item. There's no detail behind, what they're planning to spend that money on. I think it's encouraging, but I really kind of want to see what the follow through is on that, assuming it actually makes it through the budget cycle.
Yeah, I mean, the buzzword in DC and policy circles seems to be information sharing, you know, private public partnerships, et cetera, et cetera. I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Sometimes I wonder how much is really behind that. And from the private sector's standpoint, my understanding is the feeling is always, you know, we're happy to share information, but what are we going to get out of it? You know, are we just going to pour this information into some, you know, black box and have no idea how it's used? And also, this should be a two-way street. So what are we getting from you in exchange for giving you our data?
Yeah, this is absolutely the case, you know, coming from the practitioner's role and at ExxonMobil, you know, we interacted quite a bit there with various government entities and, you know, new people face to face and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's you know, we can provide information as a private entity. But again, it's the same question of what are we getting in return? And so the government traditionally has been sort of, well, we'll give you back what you've shared. You know, like if you look at the, you know, AIS program, you know, automated indicator sharing, that's basically, you know, just sharing information to the government. They repackage it and they ship it back out automatically to other members of the program, which is kind of one way, I guess, to allow them to share. But, you know, the interesting stuff that businesses would want from government, you know, government has these additional powers like subpoenas and, you know, other collection mechanisms and stuff. It would be very beneficial to businesses to be able to take advantage of sort of filling in some of those gaps. You know, when we see a tax come in and we know that it was a particular Gmail account or something like that, if they're able to, you know, if the government's able to go and say, okay, this was a pretty egregious attack, we're going to go ahead and issue subpoenas for further logs from Google or whoever else, and then in turn share that information back to the entities that were affected, that would be huge. But I don't see any movement from the government side to want to engage in that manner or to share information that they may have that they gain through, you know, secret sources and methods. So, you know, I don't really know how they're going to address it outside of doing things like AIS, where they're basically resharing private information from other companies with, you know, with other members.
And Mike, one of the big challenges that the government has, of course, is its reliance on third-party providers. In fact, there was some news this week about, you know, a job-finding service that's used by, I think, 10 different states that got hacked, and you know, information on job seekers was exposed and so on. This is a problem really throughout the government, both contractors and increasingly, you know, hosted application providers, service providers. Say you're applying NIST and you're trying to implement some real risk governance in your organization. How do you extend that out to your third-party providers?
Well, that's a major issue, both in the government and in commercial enterprise. If you think about some of the major breaches that have occurred that are headline news, you know, Target is an example. The hack occurred through a third-party vendor. And so it's incumbent upon the organizations, whatever the agency in the government is, to also push back into all of their vendors, all of their supply chain, the NIST standards for supply chain. It's very simple, very straightforward. The NIST standards exist. You just have to do it. And this goes back to your question a moment ago about holding the agency head directly responsible. This begins at the very top. If the head of the agency says, we're going to do this, period, no arguments, we're going to do this, it'll get done. If they don't, then it won't, and we'll continue to see things like the OPM breach.
Travis Farrell, Mike Schultz, thanks so much for coming in to speak with the Security Ledger.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We were speaking with Travis Farrell, the Director of Security Strategy at Anomaly, and Mike Schultz, CEO of the firm Cybernance.